God. And it's from this sense of trust that we are able to affirm the basic tenets of our faith each and every week. Our faith is dependent upon trust. And I'm sure that there are many who are more scholarly than I who would want to tease out the differences between faith and trust, but for most people in practice, they are often experienced as the same thing. God is truth itself. His words never deceive. That's why we can have faith in those words. Let us never doubt God's word or his kindness or his faithfulness. I think our gospel text primarily calls us to reflect upon the priority which we place upon God, especially in the manner in which we live our lives. How central is God to who we are and what we do in our lives? When Jesus called his disciples to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him, this idea of whether they believed, I mean, really believed, was a question which some of them had. You see, denial of ourselves, as we know, means that we acknowledge and recognize that God is in charge, that we have obligations to keep. And as our second reading reminds us, we have a particular obligation to connect our faith with how it is that we live. How is it that we keep God in our sight? We're given many tools, so to speak, to assist us along that path. Worship, what we're doing right now. Prayer, what we're doing right now. Giving of our time, talent, and treasure. Participating in religious formation programs. All of these four tools and so many others are sponsored and provided through this faith community, this local church. Yes, composed of saints and sinners. We worship and pray and give of our time and talent because we trust. And because the object of our trust, God, is worthy of the same. The more challenging set of relationships to our trustfulness may well lie in our interactions with others. This past week, I led a discussion group on, among other things, the words of St. James, which connected the notion of faith and works, and as the conversation evolved, we came to the topic of panhandling. And a lively discussion ensued. People had many experiences which they shared in being asked for money from people that they had never heard from on many different levels, and there was a great deal of sharing concerning the responses to the requests. And there was a part of me that hoped and wished that there was a single recipe, a single way, which could answer that question in the moment that we face it of whether to give. And there is not one. That's why the church affirms the primacy of conscience. A well-formed conscience, I might add, of searching within our hearts and our minds, our intuition and our experience to address those issues of immediate need when we are presented with them. The folks in the room offered a menu of responses to those situations and circumstances. Don't give. Always give. Give a gift certificate. Give a card listing agencies organized for assistance. Ignore them. Say no to the request, but then commit to giving to a trustworthy organization. Personally, I have employed each one of those responses at one time or another, sometimes out of guilt, sometimes out of frustration, sometimes out of a sense of hopefulness, sometimes out of a sense of not wanting to be bothered at a particular moment in time. And I'd like to think that I, as well as many others, are at our best when, having God in our sight, we hope and pray that we have done the right thing. Because there is no easy answer to the question of panhandling or any number of other issues. I do know that all of us want our faith to shine through in our works. The difficulty is always in that detail. And that's why we're given free will. We're called to exercise a well-formed conscience and to not only be aware of what happens in individual situations in our neighborhoods and in our city, but also mindful and aware of the structures and conditions which give rise to panhandling. Folks that shared around that topic, especially those who had bad experiences, felt at some level that trust had been broken when they had a bad experience. And I think it's that same sense of a broken or ruptured trust that has so many Catholics, rightfully so, angry with the institutional church, especially its leadership. There are no easy answers. There's no quick recipes. We do try to listen and understand, to be available, to be aware of those who have been directly harmed by the church and who have felt the sense of betrayal by her in its reporting and transparency and responses to the scandal of the abuse crisis. You see, we can see how this matter of trust plays its way out in so many ways in our lives, whether it's in our journey of faith toward a God who we know is all truth, in keeping God at the center of our lives. We see trustfulness playing out in our response to folks in immediate need. And we see it in our personal responses to the scandal in the church. It's easy to say trust. It's difficult to build trust. But building trust in God, using those tools which I referenced, gets us there. I'm reminded that today's gospel concludes by saying, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who will lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." May our trust in God continue to bring us salvation as a people of God.